time is 10 minutes past the hour of 8. Dina Diamond joining us in studio. First of all, thank you for the balloons and the donuts. It's like a celebration.
It is. Well, your birthday only comes once a year.
That is true. That is absolutely true.
And again,
true.
I did try and look for a cake, but my daughter said, Swiss roll is just not a cake.
No, especially for a birthday.
Right. So happy birthday.
Thank you very, very much.
And you're wearing your floral shirt.
Well, it is spring after all.
Did you see that?
I actually didn't even see. I'm not.
No. So Natty's
Natty's head down.
Yeah. I think I'm still in Botswana.
Hoodie on.
She didn't. She forgot it was my birthday. I'm just saying. Not that I hold these things on for very, very long.
She was
long.
Playing hard to get.
I think that's what it was.
Really big
plan. Right.
So
Surprise. All right. It is 11 minutes past the hour of 8. Dina Diamond joining us in studio. We're talking marketing because it's marketing Mondays. And we wanted to talk about the marketing of cosmetics. Suddenly Zanati will be back.
Mm-hmm. Yes. From Botswana.
Oh, she's here, Miss Revlon, or Mac or something.
Say, well, but especially based off last week. So a lot of people said, oh, I love that conversation about the lipstick. Right. Sounds like, well, there's clearly a conversation to be had.
Exactly. So let's talk about the marketing of cosmetics, because I'm a real sucker for all of this stuff. You know, you go and you find these new, mm-hmm. these men's ranges, and I mean, I can spend hours at the duty free.
Sounds like a confession.
Right. No, and I never even know. I'm not even sure half the time that I use the stuff.
But it's just all about the excitement. Like, I mean, you get to duty free, you know, it's all there,
yeah,
and there's
because,
a 2-for-1 special.
I can relate to it on my birthday. You're buying youth, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Something is going to make you look younger.
Absolutely. And I think we're living in an age where there's so much focus on youth, on looking amazing, eternal youth. Also, you're blogging all the time. People are on Instagram. They're on Facebook. They're putting pictures up of themselves. So, and again, progressively so, whereas in the past, people weren't as actually focused on their cosmetics, on their makeup. And if you actually look at the history, first of all, of makeup, only in the 1920s did it become more acceptable to actually start wearing makeup.
Seriously?
Before that, it was generally women of the night and the royalty, actually, who would wear makeup. And otherwise, it was quite frowned upon, especially if you're wearing that bright red lipstick. And the actual lipstick tube only got patented in 1915.
Right.
So, I mean, incredible. All of these things only started coming out then. And then the likes of Coco Chanel and Estee Lauder, all of that's when they, and Max Factor. Max Factor actually started out with makeup for stage and for shows. And then it became much broader and had a greater
appeal.
Until
the 1920s, people didn't wear makeup at all. So it just wasn't a thing.
Well, also, if you look at different cultures, again, with the history, if you were tan, and it's the same in Japan or in China today, if you're very tanned, it means that you were outside and working as a laborer. Whereas if you had lighter skin, it meant that you had time to be indoors because you were of a royal or higher class than others. So the people actually just make their faces lighter. So, I mean, historically, as I said last time, the ancient Egyptians and the Romans, I mean, makeup has been around forever. And we look at even Queen Esther when they literally embalmed themselves used oils. So that was around. But the actual form of makeup today, as we know it, only really started to take sort of shape in the 1920s.
And originally, as you say, it was women of the night. It was call girls.
Literally.
It really wasn't.
The forerunners.
which is interesting, because that's maybe why we associate, and I didn't even think of it, why we associate so much makeup with being cheap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have sort of a look that is so over the top, then it doesn't.
It does cheapen it. People think there's no taste there.
Right.
So you can't really paint your, look at that, she's wearing so much plastic on.
Exactly.
I'm sure you've said that once or twice, Simon.
I have actually not. I happen to be a big makeup fan. So,
like a man. And also, we've moved into the age of the metrosexual, where men are progressively coming out with, where they're having facials and they're having their nails done, they're having manicures. When I lived in New York, it was actually a very common thing for men to go for manis or pedis, because it's just a given. Like here, men are sort of slowing to
it. Now I think it's fairly popular. I know if you go to Sorbet Man,
Oh, absolutely. Sorbet man's fantastic.
Yeah, it's very...
They wax, they do whatever you need them to do.
Right, well, the waxing part I'm not sure about, but certainly the nail part of it, people are having manicures and pedicures.
Absolutely, but let's look at the pure commercial value of it. Just the global cosmetic market at the moment, and that talks to everything from hair care to makeup to skin care, all of those wonderful things. The actual global cosmetic sort of market in itself is round estimated to be almost $700 billion. $700 billion
market.
Exactly. So there's a lot of money to be made. So there's a reason that all of these organizations and companies have lasted. And if you look at the Max Factors and the Estee Lauders and the L'Oreal's, they have survived the test of time. So where big audit firms and big financial services companies have actually tanked, the basic, which is a basic human need to look fantastic.
Darvi wants to know, is there, just a question, says Darvi, is there any correlation between Howard celebrating his 40th birthday and doing an interview on makeup? He just wants to know.
Well, I didn't want to say about eternal youth because you just
because I'm an example.
Clearly, you're an example. Clearly, whatever whatever products you're using, Howard, carry on.
Absolutely.
Play on. So there's a definite, yes, correlation in that because, as you say, Howard's skin is glowing at the moment.
Oh, yes. It's
whatever
high blood
product.
It's high blood pressure.
Yeah, so, and again, with the, but what I had actually wanted to also discuss, so I'll get to that now, but just so in terms of the global cosmetic thing, so, and it's also not just a man thing anymore, I mean a woman thing anymore, it's just not just a man thing, it's also youth, people, the younger they are starting to look after their skin, and also because of, I think, of Instagram and Facebook and all the little social media channels.
Yeah, I think it's a good point that you raise, is that we're very visible today.
We're very
whereas
visible.
In the past you weren't.
Yeah, and even the apps on your social media are able to transform your skin, to take away blemishes. So where there were issues before, photoshopping models and making everyone look better, people themselves are doing it, and kids are doing it because now they're becoming more self-aware. But with that does bring issues. So it brings issues of weight, it brings issues of sort of how people view themselves, especially young girls, and it does cause issues. So a few years ago, there was actually a huge controversy. If you look at with makeup in the industry and how it's all represented. So Lancome, L'Oreal, Estee Lauder have all come under fire from regulators, from the Advertising Standards Authority, because when they do advertise their products, they put out eternal youth, takes away all the wrinkles, all the blemishes, and skin lightening, brightening, and then you've got a picture of Julia Roberts who looks like she's 12 and her skin's glowing and she's never had an issue.
Right.
And the British Broadcasting Association actually from over 700 complaints about one ad with Julia Roberts on a youth sort of product, had to actually pull the ad. Because they said that it was misrepresenting the actual product and misleading, false advertising.
That is so interesting.
But, so they actually pulled that
out. But it's virtually impossible to determine if that is, what good the product has done or not.
You know, well, all the ads use words like scientifically proven, all of that.
Yes.
And one of the studies that was actually published said that only 18% of what is said in an ad can actually be verified. 18%.
Wow.
Particularly in a beauty ad.
In cosmetics.
Yeah. Scientifically proven to make you think, clinically tested, and what does that even mean?
Clinically tested means they tested it. Didn't mean the results were good.
Clinically, they did in some place.
It was tested. I mean, it just made you look older, but we don't need to talk about that.
Exactly. So literally when that's why those ads were pulled, there was an ad. Remember Twiggy, who was the model, and so now she's like in her 60s. Mm. There was also an ad with her. And it also received so much. So it was called Olay Definity, and
is Olay still around?
Yes,
Oil of Olay,
and it's still making.
Is it still around?
Bombs.
Who knew? Really?
Who knew?
That's well. How much?
Well, they called it Oil of Delay.
Right. Exactly. I mean, obviously, it's so much of this is just plain and simple marketing.
Absolutely.
How different are the products?
Well, I cannot give you a definitive answer
but
I know which products I use.
All right, so now do you want to ask her what products she uses?
Because her skin looks flawless.
Well, oh, then, guys, there we go.
Just one word, man. See, you can fool anyone.
Right. So what products do you use?
So I actually, I must say, I am a Mac fan.
Right.
So I do use, I use a whole range of products, you know, for this cleansing.
Right,
there's,
right.
Night creams, there's day creams, there's.
It's a full-time job, basically.
I'm actually so over my own maintenance. I can't even begin to tell you. And also, you know what I even realized? Before I went away, I realized how much maintenance we all have. And I'm like, I actually don't love, despite what you may think, I don't love a lot of maintenance. I like as little maintenance as possible. And I realized, flip, I am a lot of maintenance. I mean, from hair to nails are going away. You've got to have everything done.
You know, when we go away and my daughter says, no, she's 14. No, no, she's just brought it the bare minimum. And I can tell you that it's half a suitcase.
Yes, exactly. And you know how heavy those products
are. Cleansers. And I said, but do you need a mosque in the 7 days that you're away? She says, you don't know what the quality of the water's like.
Exactly. I mean, and she's not wrong.
Yeah, yeah, it can affect your it can clog your pores. So then, yes, you definitely
do. And I have to tell you, the water in London is very harsh.
Well,
so you have to take an extra conditioner as well for your hair if you're going there.
Oh, no, excuse me. The hair business is the other half of the suitcase.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. So people have got all their products, everything. And what's actually the most interesting thing is that cosmetics and skincare and all of that is actually, you know, even when we go through mass economic downturn and economic crisis and people are cutting down, where there is no downturn and where there is complete resistance is in the beauty industry. And that is because people value their beauty products and they will pay a premium for their beauty products. So even though they would rather forego their expensive avocados and they would much rather spend that money on a good eye cream, a good face cream, a good hair product, and literally it is resilient and resistant to economic downturn. And the market just keeps growing.
And you can even see it with the number of brands that are out there. Like every time a celebrity comes out with their own makeup brand, I always wonder, how do they all survive in the same space? And they do. And
also,
they make billions.
I know. Like every time, like Beyonce, Britney Spears, Rihanna. I'm like, how? First of all, I'm sure they definitely have no real skill in making.
No, I'm sure
so that what they do is they literally get those cosmetic houses or whatever, and they actually create magnificent fragrances. They get specialities, and they all have those things. I mean, if you look at literally Kylie Jenner is the perfect example of new age marketing.
Yeah.
I mean, so when we look at the new kind of companies that are out there. MAC, for example, has only been going since 1984.
Wow.
And it has become a global brand. It started off with one store. They now have over 1,000 stores operating in over 70 countries. I mean, you cannot go to a duty-free and not see a MAC.
Anywhere, any high-end mall, you're going to find a MAC.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the most aspirational makeup brand around for young women, don't you think?
Absolutely. So the reason it actually started out was for professionals and makeup artists. So it was put out there as a premium brand. It was priced as premium with premium quality, and it just grew and grew and grew.
Right.
And not only that, but they purport to be the authority on colors. And they come out as a bit outrageous and a bit out there and a bit spunky and a bit funky and a bit youthful, and they appeal to Generation X to Generation Y. So from young college to older, they've got all the makeup artists use MAC because there is that range of colors. They also now look at, originally there were no bases for darker ladies. Now, I mean, Sanati, I'm sure when you go shopping, you have got 5,000 shades to choose from, which was originally ignored.
Yeah. Right. And that's part of their marketing as well. Like even Rihanna.
So do MAC market that way?
They do not discriminate on age, on gender.
No, because
so,
there was a time that the dark skin market were completely neglected.
Yeah, absolutely.
They?
And that's the main point of Rihanna's Fenty Beauty. They came out and they said, guys, we have so many shades, multiple shades
well,
for everybody. So they promote inclusivity.
Even the Chinese.
And now Kim Kardashian.
It's a huge market.
Kim Kardashian and all of them have also followed suit.
The KKW range. Yeah. Absolutely. And they have said we are for everyone. And that's also become very PC. Whereas we're not discriminating. We're transgender. They even used Caitlyn Jenner, you know, when Bruce became a she, used, her in an advertising campaign that was literally, and it got a massive, uptake from the special shades. And they also do very bespoke shades. shades. And they give back, so they're seen as socially responsible. And here's a nice little tidbit, which I'm sure you didn't know. If you have six of their products and you finish those products, you keep the containers, you go back, and they will give you a free lipstick.
Mac, oh my goodness.
Wrapping up with Dina Diamond Marketing Monday. So what is the biggest cosmetic brand around?
So at the moment, I mean, if you look at, well, so the whole thing is that all these big cosmetic brands have got sub-brands. So MAC is actually owned by Estee Lauder. And L'Oreal owns multiple other brands that sit underneath. And there are also different brands that talk to different markets. So there's no one that stands out. I mean, MAC has got a brand value of $2 billion. $2 billion for a bit of color.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's actual houses like that
post
them.
For a world
them.
That doesn't see color.
Exactly. Look at you. So PC on your birthday.
So woke. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. But if you look globally, it's what's happening is that also there are so many people who bloggers. They are like beauty bloggers now. And those beauty bloggers have got like over 13 million followers. And they actually promote various brands and various actual makeup types. And the youth are like following them. So now even like also another differentiator for MAC was they were the only people who had trained makeup artists on the floor. So they could actually show people how to do their makeup. They do it as a free service, and not only that, but they always have their makeup done slightly more dramatic and with using different colors, so people actually can envision and actually see themselves in what is like, what are the possibilities of this. So that's where they really have become a leader. But if you look at all the other brands, Bobbi Brown, they're all really highly aspirational. People want to use them, and all these beauty bloggers as well have made huge amounts of money because the brands pay them to actually use their products.
Incredible. Time is 8:31. Dina Diamond. That's Marketing Monday. Thank you, as always. Absolutely fascinating conversation. David Zimmerman, thanks, David. Who was the previous coach before Otis Gibson and Protea coach, that is? And, of course, the answer is Russell Dimitra.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Yeah, I knew it. I just wanted to just see.
Test the listeners.
Just see, yeah, exactly.